Well, Teresa, here in Alabama, I'm seeing my first blooms of the year. Climbing Colette opened this morning, and it is a fragrant wonder.
Oh, sounds beautiful. Now, is this early for you, or is this right on time?
Well, you know, I think it's a little bit early. We normally don't see our first blooms of the year until around the end of the month. But I've been so excited with this warm weather. And, you know, since we're all keeping our social distance, I went ahead and planted some vegetables in my square foot garden today.
Oh, that sounds so fun. Well, here in Indiana, things are a bit different, but we're still gardening. Today, we had snow and sleet outside, but I was busy potting up bare root roses for a society fundraiser. And I've been starting seeds in the potting shed. So once the precipitation stops, I'll get in the garden actually to plant some seeds, pea pods, and some lettuce. But for now, I was getting my hands in the dirt in the garage.
Wow. Well, no matter where you are, our guest today is here to share some good information on a topic that's really important to every rose lover.
Yes, today Stephen Scaniello joins us, and he's going to talk about some beautiful things, and then he's going to talk about some not so beautiful things. First, he'll talk about two beautiful rose gardens, the Piggy Rockefeller Garden in New York and the Elizabeth Park Rose Garden in Hartford, Connecticut. There's beautiful things going on there, but there's also some horrible rosette disease. I'm sure many of you might be experiencing that too. So Stephen's going to take us inside his experience in these two large gardens and what they're seeing and what they're doing, and he'll give us some tips on what to do if you find rosette in your garden.
Y'all stay with us. The Rose Chat podcast starts now.
It's time for the Rose Chat Podcast, a podcast dedicated to celebrating the world's most beloved flower, the rose. Join award-winning gardeners Chris Van Cleef and Teresa Byington as they chat with rose lovers and experts from around the globe. With each episode, you'll gain valuable knowledge and insights to achieve the rose garden you've always dreamed of. Listen now as we explore the world of roses.
Try Haven Brand Soil Conditioners, providing generations of gardeners with a truly all-natural alternative to chemical fertilizers with their line of composted manure and alfalfa teas. Easy to brew and use on all indoor and outdoor plants. Find them online at manuretea.com.
Hey, Stephen, welcome back to Rose Chat.
Thank you, Teresa. It's always a pleasure.
Now, Stephen, you're a busy guy. You're the curator of both the Peggy Rockefeller Rose Garden in New York and Elizabeth Park Rose Garden in Hartford, Connecticut.
They actually call me a consultant for Elizabeth Park. The world isn't big enough for two curators within that distance.
Well, tell our audience a little bit about these gardens.
Well, the Peggy Rockefeller is in the New York Botanical Garden. That's in the Bronx, the northern borough of New York City. And it's about an acre and a half, maybe an acre and a half, very formal in design. And its focus is mainly, its big focus, which is very important, is that we have roses that require less spraying. We have gone through lots and lots of hybrids, lots of cultivars in search of roses that can withstand our humidity and heat in the summer and not be horribly ridden with black spot. Black spot is there, but not as bad as it used to be. So we've gotten rid of a lot of old-time favorites like Peace and Tiffany. So it's a very formal fenced-in garden with a lattice, metal lattice. It's really pretty. And the other garden is Elizabeth Park, is in Elizabeth Park, which is a public park. The Rose Garden's on the West Hartford side. And there are no gates. It's never closed. It's always open. And it's a 2.5-acre rose garden that is the oldest public rose garden in the country. The Peggy Rockefeller was first established in 1916 or so. It went under for a while, and then they redid it in the 80s. But the Elizabeth Park Rose Garden was first started in 1904, and then it was added on in 1930s. So it's still here in its original form. It's 2.5 acres. It's sort of like a flattened egg is sort of the design. And it's known for its beautiful arches of ramblers We have, I think there are 75 arches in this 2.5 acre rose garden. It's really quite something to see.
Well, I do want to see it. I've been to Peggy Rockefeller, and it is lovely. As you walk down those steps, and you're in the greatness of it all. So mm-hmm. It's so beautiful. But I've never been to the other one, but I've seen pictures, and the arches are just spectacular. So what roses are on those arches?
Predominantly Excelsa and Crimson Rambler. And then there's a alley of Dorothy Perkins. There was once an alley of White Dorothy, but that rose has not lasted as well as the other two. So there's been a lot of changing over the years. In fact, this past season, we added, I think, 55 new antique ramblers, all from the Ann Belovich collection from the Chambersville Tree Farm. And these roses were planted, and they were already 10 to 12 feet in size.
I was just going to say, when will they be spectacular? But they're well on their way already.
Yeah, they should be. The arches themselves peak at the height of the arch is probably 8 to 10 feet. The width of the arch, some arches are only as wide as 7 feet. Others are as wide as 12 feet. Many of the ramblers we planted from Texas have already started on completely covering the arch. So we're eager to see how they made it through the winter. But it'll be a very interesting display of early European and American ramblers.
Oh, it sounds just beautiful. I can't wait to see what they do. Now, I wish we could talk about beautiful roses all day, but today we want to talk about something not so beautiful, and that's rose rosette.
Yeah.
So in case our listeners haven't heard too much about rose rosette, could you share with us just what this is?
Well, it's a terrible disease that has really made headway into all kinds of roses over the last 10 years at least. And it's a virus that is spread by a tick, not a tick, I'm sorry, a mite that doesn't fly but floats. And the mite feeds on a plant, fills up with a sort of gassiness, and then lets go and floats to the next whatever is in its path. The symptoms are, this will kill your plants. It's not something you can prune away. You have to take the plant out and get rid of it, put it in a garbage bag, and that will kill the mites. But the symptoms are sort of this strange growth that essentially resembles a bright red witch's broom. There's a multitude of prickles. Where you may have had 10 or 20 prickles on a branch, you suddenly have 100 or 150. It's just packed with prickles. And you have this broom growth, and the foliage is sort of a blood-curdling red. Not to be confused with the red of Asian roses, which is perfectly normal, like the Chinas and teas. But this red just appears, and you know something's wrong when you see it. But the red usually is there when the witch's broom is forming or the dense prickles. There are other forms of it, too, that sneak in and apparently don't have any noticeable description except that the plant may suddenly drop its foliage. And that's one I've recently discovered, and it exists in the Peggy Rockefeller Rose Garden. There's an old planting of Ballerina, the 1930s hybrid musk, that I've always noticed over every June, it just drops its leaves. Apparently, there is somebody in Wisconsin or Minnesota that has been researching this particular plant. And when he heard that we still had it, he's very eager for me to send him cuttings so he can grow it and continue his research. And there's another problem with rose rosette is that it doesn't necessarily show up on a plant, but it can be in the plant, and that plant becomes the host and becomes Typhoid Mary or ground zero of the disease in your garden. And the mites can feed on that plant and then blow onto another rose bush, and that bush becomes infected and may or may not show the signs. So it's really, really important to keep an eye on how your plants are growing.
Absolutely. It's such a heartbreaker. I have lots of roses. As you know, I've only dealt with rose rosette a few times, and once was even before we were really hearing that much about it, we'd heard a little bit about it, and I found one that no one really knew what was going on locally, but I was sure of what it was. So was it that? Really, I'm not sure, but I was sure enough to take it out. But this is just a heartbreaker. Do we need to remove the entire shrub, or what do we do when we find it?
Yeah, the only treatment you can do at this point is to remove the entire plant. And the virus does not infect the soil. It does not travel from pruners from plant to plant. The mite could easily latch onto your clothes and take a free ride to the next plant. Or when you're taking the plant out, and if you shake it, you're simply scattering the mites, if they're still there, to go on to do further damage. Quite often we see the disease symptoms long after the mite has left. So what you do, you need to do is dig it up, get rid of the soil, and then cut your plant up and put it into a black garbage bag and tie it. What I'd recommend is sending a sample to one of these many research centers now working hard on this disease. And I think the one that comes to mind that we've used is in Oklahoma. I think it's Oklahoma State. But if you go to the web and look up and type in roserosette.org, you'll find everything you need to know about controlling this disease, where to send your samples to. And what we need our gardeners to do is to let us know that you have it. Don't be ashamed of it. But if you have it, mm-hmm. we need to record where you are, and they can track the progress of the spread of the disease. It's pretty much in every corner of the country now. And I hear it's even crossed into Canada. Mm-hmm. But they used to say it's not south of I-10 in the south, and it wasn't in Canada. But now I was just in Lakeland three weeks ago, and the extension agent there was telling me that they found some rose rosette vectors or something in the Orlando area, I believe.
Not good news. Not good news at all. No. I read an article that you wrote in the Heritage Rose newsletter, and you talked about some processes that you put in place in these large gardens to try to help. So tell us about that.
Oh, let's see.
One of them was leaf blowers.
Oh, yeah. Well, what we've done is we've banned leaf blowers from both rose gardens. Because leaf blowers give a free ride to the pest. So you want to eliminate anything like that. And you want to, we plant our roses further apart. We no longer jam in 20 roses where 8 would suffice. Because otherwise you're creating sort of a plant ladder where the mites can move mm-hmm. from plant to plant. We are pretty aggressive on our pruning. Especially in the Peggy Rockefeller, we've pruned closer to the ground to eliminate any mites that are hiding deep inside the rose growing points. Mm-hmm. And the problem with this, one of the issues with this mite is that it doesn't congregate in areas where a miticide would work. They get into the leaf scales or the growing points on the stems, and they can sort of hide from the contact of the miticide. So people will say to me, oh, well, I spray my roses with miticides. And I say, well, it's not going to work. It's not guaranteed. They have not found any chemical control of this pest yet. And they're also searching for perhaps something that would feed on this pest. And they're also searching for roses that might be immune. So far, nothing has really come to mind. Nothing has shown up yet, but they're working on it really hard.
Oh, if we could find something that feast on this pest, wouldn't we be in business?
Oh, wouldn't we ever?
Oh, that's just wonderful. Okay, some other tips for our gardeners at home. How soon can another rose go in once you've had to remove one for rose rosette?
Pretty much right away, because it's not in the soil. When I first started hearing about this, they were telling you to dig out your soil. Some gardeners are dumping kerosene in their soil.
Whoa.
I mean, it was crazy. It was just really wild. It was worse than this coronavirus thing. All this misinformation coming out through the internet. Mm-hmm. Nobody was really finding solid research to rely on. So they were tearing up. Brooklyn Botanical Garden lost a lot of its roses and soil due to poor advice from an outside contractor that wasn't necessary. When I came to Elizabeth Park, we have a lot of antique ramblers here, a lot of mystery ramblers that are as old as the rose garden or older. And one of the gardeners, who's no longer here, told me very proudly, told me how she was removing every rose that had Rosa multiflora in its background. And that is absolutely not Rosa multiflora has been the scapegoat for this disease for quite a while, because the disease was released, I believe, by the government during the 40s or 50s to kill Rosa multiflora that was encroaching on good farmland. And the problem is that the virus doesn't know Rosa multiflora from Queen Elizabeth. So any rose in its path, it can succumb. But people still talk about, oh, you got to remove your Rosa multifloras wherever you see them. Well, it's not necessarily true, because Rosa multiflora doesn't generate the mites. It doesn't cause the mites to be there. But they could very well harbor the mites as any other rose. So what you need to do is rather than start ripping plants out, start looking for mites. And they're microscopic. You may be able to see them with a hand lens. If you suspect, if you want to have your plants tested, when I purchase roses from the Chambersville Tree Farm, I have them test the roses. They send them to Oklahoma State. And there's a small fee for that, but it makes you rest easier to know that your plants are clean as far as you can tell. So one of the things we don't do anymore in both gardens is share our plants, because we have the disease. We're controlling it by taking out the plants when we see it. And sometimes it is a heartbreak when an entire arch has to be denuded because it's infected. Or my treasured Belfield rose at Peggy Rockefeller, which I nurtured for years to be in full beautiful bloom in a pot, was stricken with it. And worse than that, we found some roses that showed no signs of it, but when we tested them, they were infected. So what you also have to do when you find it in your garden, look at the plants immediately around the plant that's infected. So you dig up the plant that's infected, put it in a garbage bag, watch the other plants for any symptoms. They may or may not come down with it.
You talk about these arches, and I'm envisioning the big project it is to take these down. And I, too, have some very large roses, and I'm thinking, if I look out there one day and see rose rosette, do you have any tips on getting these big, massive things out safely so that we're not spreading the mites?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, you just need to cut it very carefully. Don't yank. Don't shake it. You know, just small cuts right into a bag. It may take a little bit of time, but it's worth it in the long run. End of the newest growth and work your way backwards all the way down. And even if you just see one branch on that plant infected, the rest of the plant is most likely has it as well. So don't take a chance. You know, get rid of it.
Stephen, all of that's such good information. Is there anything else you want to say to our listeners about the research that's going on?
Heritage Rose Foundation, we donated $15,000 to the research. The big rose companies have all donated. Week, Star, this is their livelihood. So there's a lot of, and you can donate too. If you go to the website, there's a button for donating for the research. They're funded. I think it's a government grant, but those can be limited, and the main places where the research is occurring, and they're all working together, is Oklahoma State, University of Delaware, Texas A&M, and there's one more. But those are some of the
University of Tennessee.
Yes, of course. That's where the Garden from Hell is, as one of my friends.
Mm-hmm. We can't forget that. Mark Windham, we just can't forget about all that work going
on. That's
right.
Mark Windham and Dr. Byrne at A&M. There's a lot of really dedicated people working on this. And what Mark Windham has done, it's really interesting. And a friend of mine from Dallas, Claude Graves, refers to Mark's garden as the Rose Garden from Hell, because it's a garden where he plants the roses with the hopes that they'll get infected. So they use leaf blowers. They use everything you shouldn't be doing. They put infected plants in with these plants, and they watch to see if certain cultivars are more resilient than others, or resistant. And so far, there have been a few hopeful. There's been some talk about our native rose, Rosa sitigera, the prairie rose. It's a possible candidate for immunity. And I have a rose that is a hybrid, and I couldn't even try to pronounce its name, but I think it's two words, and it's from the former Czechoslovakia. And I think it's S-V-R-E-C-Y-R-X. It's something really strange thing like that. I don't even know where to start looking to find the name, but that is one that is possibly resistant. And, it's probably on the website, and I planted one in both gardens to see how it fares. But you're sending it to a sudden death.
Well, Stephen, our time is coming to an end, but we sure appreciate all that you do for the world of roses. You do lots of beautiful things. You do the difficult work with the rose rosette. You're out pruning all over the place. Every time I get on social media, I see you're hidden somewhere, either with a box of roses or your pruning shears, or just to tell stories. And no one tells rose story quite like
you. Thank you. I enjoy it very much. And I've been pruning most of the day, and I'll be pruning all day tomorrow up in Elizabeth Park. We're having an amazing spring, no winter. So the first time in my memory that the roses haven't died to the ground. So it's a lot more challenging to prune.
Hey, we got this.
Watch out.
Well, friends, we hope you're enjoying every minute of this season. It's exciting as for rose lovers, and we hope you're enjoying our podcast. If you do, please share them with others, especially this one. There's so much good information here. We appreciate you listening, and happy gardening from your friends at Rose Chat.
You've been listening to the Rose Chat podcast with Chris Van Cleve and Teresa Byington, expert rose gardeners who want to help you achieve the rose garden of your dreams. Don't miss an episode. Listen anytime on our website at rosechatpodcast.com, or listen on the go via the Rose Chat app on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Share this podcast with your social networks and join us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by using the hashtag RoseChat. Join us next time for another edition of the Rose Chat Podcast. The Rose Chat Podcast is a production of the Rose Chat Media Group, Birmingham, Alabama.